with the psalmist who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can you say amen? So good to see each and every one of you out here today. I know that God's got something special for us. I could not wait to preach this morning. I tell you, I'm just so excited about what God is doing and how God is touching our lives and how God is bringing people into our hearts and into our lives. And there's just some great things that are in store for us as a church. Amen. But not just as a church as a whole, but I believe that God has some great things in store for you, amen, individually, just for you, amen, as a child of God. Can you say a good amen? Hallelujah. Let me make just another quick announcement today. We're also on the 26th of this month, we're going to be celebrating some people who have given service here at this church. If you add all of their years up, it'll be way over 100 years. How many realize that? That is incredible, isn't it? And we've got some people. We're going to celebrate them. We're going to come and we're going to have them come. We're going to just have a special day. We're going to have dinner here in the fellowship hall. We're just going to have a great day of celebration. Amen. How many realize that God is honored when we serve Him? Amen. And you know what? He has served us. And in fact, the Bible says He came not to be served, but to serve. And when we follow in His footsteps and we reach out to people and we minister to people, how many realize that we're more like Jesus than ever when we do that? Amen. And some of these people have served 25, some of them have served 18, 20 years in the area of ministry that they've been involved in. And I want to encourage you to come out and let's celebrate with them. You know, they're stepping aside, and how many realize after that long of a time you need a little rest? Amen. But I'm praying that they don't rest too long, because there's a lot that we need to do around here. Amen. We'll give you a little bit of time off, but then you're going to have to get right back to it. Amen. Praise God. No, we just are so excited. And we also are having Jason and Becky Love that are going to be joining with us. They're going to be doing our children's ministry and also our youth ministry, and they'll be with us on that day, the 26th, and Becky's going to be helping out with us in our music a little bit, and we're just so excited about what God is doing. Amen. How many believe that God is bringing people into our congregation? Amen. Because God's got some great things in store for us. Let's give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. I really believe the Lord wants to speak to our hearts today, and I believe that God has something in store for each and every one of you that have come today. I said earlier, I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe that we're here today with a divine appointment from God. You know, some people you say, well, Pastor, I come every week. Well, that's great. Aren't you glad you have a divine appointment with God every week? Amen. Praise Lord. But I believe that every time we gather together that God wants to speak to our hearts and that God wants to do something into our lives. How many realize that God wants to change us, amen, from the inside out? Change us from what we used to be to what He wants us to be. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, as we come and we gather ourselves together, as we come and we're open to His Word and we let the Word of God find good soil in our heart, amen, He begins to change us. And how many realize it'll improve your looks? How many know that? You say, oh, Pastor Rick, it hadn't done much for you, but it does. You know why it changes your look? Because what happens is you begin to reflect the very image of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And that's God's desire in all of our lives, that when people look at us, they don't see us, but they see His Son, Jesus. Amen. And you know what? That we begin to live up to our names. Amen. You know, we're called Christians for a reason. That's because we should act like Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. So that's sermon number one. That didn't cost you a dime, all right? Praise the Lord. I'm a little excited, amen. But you say, Pastor Rick, you're always that way. Well, I am. I'm sorry. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will. Joshua chapter 1. We'll begin reading in with verse 1 here. It says, after the death of Moses, the servants of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all of this people to the land in which I will give them, the children of Israel. Every place is in this that the soles of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said unto Moses. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, to break open your word, Lord. And Father, for you to speak to us from the word to God today. I pray, God, that it would find good soil. I pray that you'd give us, Lord, listening ears, O Lord, and more than just a listening ear, but Father, that you'd give us a listening heart. And Father, Lord, that it would find good place in our heart, O God, that it might take root and it might grow and it might bear fruit in our lives, O God, that when we leave this place, O God, we'll leave changed. And Father, that's our desire, to be changed into the image of your Son today. And we give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. Let me just kind of give you a little synopsis of this, and that is this. God is speaking to Joshua. Moses, who is leading the children of Israel, has died. And now Joshua is becoming the leader of the people. And God says to Joshua, he gives him the very same promise that he gave to Moses. That's actually found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24. And this is the promise. It says that every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given to you. The very same promise. He gave that to Moses 40 years before, and now here he's 40 years later, he's saying to Joshua, listen, just as I have said to Moses, I have said to you, I'm giving you this land, go in and take it, take your inheritance and take what I've given to you today. I want you to know this morning that as a child of God, we've been given the same promise to God that God gave to Moses and that God gave to Joshua. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor Rick. Let me just clarify that, okay? The geographical location may have changed, but can I tell you something? The promise of God has not changed. Can you say amen? You see, every child of God has been given lands to conquer. How many realize that there is lands that God wants you to conquer? Now, not necessarily in physical land, but I'm talking about areas of our lives. How many know that? Amen? And not only do we have lands to conquer, we have an inheritance that God has given to us. And He wants you and I to possess our inheritance. We've been given a promise of possession. Now, I'm not talking about things. I'm not talking about riches. I'm talking about life. How many realize what I'm talking about today? Jesus said, I've come to give you what? Life, but not just life, but life more abundantly. Amen? So it's not just an existence upon this earth. I don't want to just exist here on this earth. How many realize that? Hallelujah. I want to thrive on this earth as a child of God. Now, I'm not talking about some prosperity. I'm talking about when hard times come, when difficult times come, and circumstances come that come against me. It means I'm not laying flat on my face and letting the world walk upon me. But in spite of that, hallelujah, I can stand up like Job said, hallelujah, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. In spite of my circumstances, God wants me to be above and not be below and beneath. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm getting wound up early this morning, aren't I? Hallelujah. But God says every place that thy foot of thy soul, that's what He's given to you and I today. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, God's got some great things in store for us. I'm talking about the power to accomplish God's calling in our life. Do you realize this morning, I don't care who you are, the calling of God is upon you. God created you and He's put His Spirit in you. God says, I've got something that only you can do. Amen? When I found that out as a child growing up, as a young man growing up, I was overwhelmed that the Creator of the heaven, the earth, actually had a plan for my life. You know, I figured I'd just kind of go through life, this and that, and just hope for the best. But when I realized that God had a plan for my life, let me tell you, all of a sudden my perspective began to change. Amen. That God loved me so much that He would already write out His plan for my life. How many realize that we don't always follow God's plan? And sometimes we find ourselves in a ditch somewhere. We find ourselves in a place somewhere. But can I tell you something? That does not take away the calling and the purpose that God has for you here today. Amen. Hallelujah. He is able to lift you up wherever you're at, whatever you've gotten into, amen, and deliver you and set your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, and set you on your way to fulfill the call that God has for you in your life today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just getting to my introduction today. Y'all might be here till about 2:00 today. I'm just teasing. My wife won't let that happen, trust me. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about the power to accomplish God's call in our life today. This morning I want to talk to you about three positives for possessing the promises of God. Hallelujah. Has God made you some promises? Hallelujah. Number one, you might want to write this down. Before you and I can begin to even possess the promises of God, there's got to be some preparation. How many realize that? You've got to be prepared, amen? You've got to do some preparation. Look at verse 10 there, chapter 1 of Joshua, chapter 1. And it says, "And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days we will cross over the Jordan and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess." Hallelujah. He says, get prepared. He said, get ready. He's telling the people, you've got to be prepared. We're about to cross this Jordan. We're going into a land that is our inheritance that God has given us. And you better be ready to take the land. Amen? So you've got to be ready. Amen? If anyone knew what it was to prepare, let me tell you, Joshua knew what it was to prepare. Joshua had been being prepared to succeed Moses for 40 years. How would you like to be the assistant for 40 years? That's a long time. You know what they say? The hardest instrument in the world to play is second fiddle. Some of y'all got that. Some of you won't get it till you leave. Amen. But he had been training and preparing for the day that he would lead in Moses' place. And it had taken 40 years of preparation. Let me just stop there for a minute. I'm going to share it with some of you. Some of you may say, Pastor Rick, I've been trudging along a long time and I haven't seen some of the things that I desire to see. Can I tell you something? Let God prepare you for the time that He opens the door and it says, this is it. Amen? This is time of preparation. This is time of preparing. I believe that for our church right now, we're in a time of preparing. Amen? Let me tell you something. When God begins to move, and He's moving, can you say amen? But when God begins to pour out His Spirit in such a way that we begin to reach people for Jesus Christ, we've got to be ready. Amen? We've got to be ready to receive them. Hallelujah. And I think He's doing a pretty good job on us already. Amen? But it took 40 years of preparation. Preparation is always essential for receiving the promises of God. You may say, well, Pastor Rick, how do I prepare to receive from God? Well, number one is this. Our hearts must be prepared by removing all doubt and unbelief. Can you say amen? Doubt it must be weeded out of our hearts that the Word of God can spring forth in faith for the life of every believer. You see, it's the Word of God that builds faith in our lives. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We've got to prepare. So what do? We go in, we begin to say, God, I'm going to read Your Word. I'm going to listen to what You've got to say. Can I tell you something? There is a lot of wisdom in this book. Amen. I had a guy tell me one day, why do you always refer to the book before you do anything? I said, because if I don't refer to the book, I get out of His will, amen, and I mess things up. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man. Have you realized that? It seemeth right. It's something that I think I should do. Okay? But can I tell you something? The Bible says the way there is of death. But let me tell you, if you'll read this book and you'll have the mind of Christ, God will lead you step by step in the path that He wants to go. Amen? I don't lean upon my own understanding, but in all of my ways I acknowledge Him and He directs my path. Can you say amen? How many realize if we'd pay more attention to that Holy Spirit inside of us speaking to us, we'd stay out of a lot of trouble. Amen? If you can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. But what are we doing? We're acting in faith. We've got to get doubt and unbelief because unbelief and doubt always destroys faith. God's Word tells us over and over again that the just, how many realize that you are the just here? Hallelujah. We've been justified, not in ourselves, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, that the just shall live by faith. And faith only comes, what? Through hearing the Word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. But let me stop right there for a minute, because let me tell you something, hearing is not enough. Hearing is not enough. Faith is acting upon what you and I have heard. Faith says, I hear it, and now I'm going to respond to it. And that's what faith is. How many have heard the Word of God and yet they still do not believe? Can I tell you, there's people in this community right here who can quote the Bible better than you and me frontwards and backwards, and they're not believers. They don't believe in Jesus. They haven't trusted Him as their personal Savior. So faith doesn't come just by hearing. It comes on to hearing and then acting upon what God's Word has said. How many realize that? When I read in God's Word that it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Holy Spirit said to me, "That's you." And I said, "Oh God, I'm a sinner." But then I read over in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. I said, "Oh God, that's for me." And you know what I did? As a young boy, I fell on my face and I cried out to God. I said, "God, forgive me for all of my wicked sin." I think I was 5 years old. I'd really gotten a lot of sin. Amen. But how many realize it doesn't matter if you're 5 or if you're 50 or 105? We're lost in need of a Savior. And I acted upon the Word of God. And through faith, Jesus Christ came and began to live in me. And my life changed. He said, "Amen." Hallelujah. So faith is activated when we act upon what we have heard. Paul says in Romans, I love this chapter 10, in the very next verse where he says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know what he says? The next verse says, have they not heard? He's being a little sarcastic here. You know what he's saying? He says, yes, they've heard. And they have not acted upon what they have heard. Oh, listen, church. What a sad time that will be. Not to act upon what God has told you. Amen. Paul is being sarcastic. He's saying, of course they have heard, but they have not responded to what they have heard. Can I tell you, there's going to be a sad day for so many when they stand before God. Those who have heard the gospel preached, those who have heard the message of God, and they have not acted upon what they have heard. For those who have not acted upon what they've heard, how many know you can know something and still not know it? I can know it up here, but if I don't know it down here, it does me no good. Faith makes that connection between my head and my heart. And when I respond to Him and I say, "Oh God, I'm responding to You and I'm accepting You," but it's going to be a horrible day for so many when they hear the words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." But for those who've responded, to those who've called upon His name, for those who've trusted Him, you know what they'll hear? "Well done." I don't think y'all heard that. "Well done, thy good and faithful servants." Hallelujah. Well done. I want you to hear those words today. It's not enough just to hear the Word. To hear the Word. We have got to respond to what we have heard today. Oh, listen, it's not willing. God is not willing that any, the Bible says, should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen? Oh, listen. Listen to the Word. Act upon the Word of God today. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and I love this part, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Every person mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 gives us an act. It tells us all about what they did with acts of faith. They believed. Amen. And they acted upon what they heard. And because they acted on what they heard, they did great things for God. Amen. They listened to God's Word. They acted upon God's Word. And God did the miraculous in their lives. Amen. Why? Because they stepped out in faith and they saw God's hand move. Hallelujah. Remember last week I preached, there's a miracle knocking at your door. Amen. And I said last week, you know, sometime we just got to step out on a maybe. Amen. And become part of a miracle. Can I tell you, this is not a maybe here. This is the truth. This is the truth of God's Word. Every person mentioned stepped out in believing in chapter 11 of Hebrews. For without faith it is impossible to possess the promise of God. James chapter 1 verse 6 says this, but let him ask in faith, not doubting, For he who doubts is like a wave driven by the sea, tossed by the winds to and fro. Let not this man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Let us prepare our hearts this morning. Amen. As Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 says, see to it, brethren. This is what he's saying. See to it, brethren, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. Turn away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at the first. And has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, listen to this, today, if you hear His voice, this is a warning, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. Who were those who heard and rebelled? Were they not those that Moses led out of Egypt, and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, not if those who disobeyed? So see to it, see that we were not able to enter because of their unbelief. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So the first positive of possessing the promises of God is we've got to prepare our hearts. Amen? This morning, I want you to know, God has a promise for every one of us today. I don't care who you are, but He has a promise for us. And if you and I are going to be recipients of the promise of God, we've got to prepare our heart. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to prepare it to receive what God has for us. Oh, listen to me, church. God wants to do something miraculous in your life. But not only do we need to prepare to receive the promises of God, you know, a farmer prepares the soil, amen, and plants his seed, but then he must also, number two is this, be persistent in possessing the promises of God. You just can't prepare, but how many realize you got to be persistent, amen? You can't give up. You can't give up. Israel was commanded to go into Israel and the land of Canaan and to drive out all those that lived there and beyond the Jordan. How many remember the story? Amen? They were to be persistent and drive out the inhabitants of the land and not to let anyone else remain. And then God gives a severe warning as to what would happen if they refused to be persistent and not carry out His commands. Listen to what the warning of God was found in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass. Let me just say this. He doesn't say it might happen or it may be happen. He's saying if you don't do what I tell you to do, this will happen to you. And this is what it says. And those which you let remain, they shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they shall vex your soul in the land wherein you dwell. He says, I've given you a warning. You better obey what I say, because if you don't drive out the inhabitants, they're going to be a thorn in your flesh from here and all the rest of your days. How many realize that God's warning needs to be heeded today? Amen? God says, listen, if you want to receive your full inheritance, you've got to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And yet the Bible tells us over and over and over again that Israel refused to drive out those that lived in Canaan, and the result was they failed to be persistent and they failed to possess. They never really possessed the land that God had given them. You realize they had to fight every day. If they had drove those inhabitants out like God had commanded, they could have literally lived in the land that flowed with milk and honey. But they refused. And because they refused, they didn't do what God told them to do. They had to fight every day of their lives to keep what God had given them. Let me just say something this morning. I love you. I want you to know that. I think you know that. But listen to me, church. If we don't follow God's word, If we don't learn, if we don't be persistent in our walk with God, how many realize, let me tell you, we will have to fight to keep what we've got. Amen? God wants you and I. The enemy is come. The Bible says that the enemy comes, the thief comes, what? To steal, kill, and to destroy. But he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. That's God's word to you and I today. Amen? So let's heed his warning. But they failed to drive out that inhabitants of the land. Every child of God here this morning has been given an inheritance, but unless we're persistent in our faith, we'll never possess our inheritance. Listen to what Galatians 6 verse 9 says. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't get tired of serving God. What did he said? For in due season, hallelujah, ye shall reap. Hallelujah. In due season. How many realize this morning there is a harvest coming for the child of God? Amen? It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. But don't give up because God's got something in store for you. And it goes on to say, if we faint not. I got to tell this story. It's not in my notes, but I want to tell this story about a young man who is wanting to be one of the special forces guys. You know what I'm talking about? You know, they put you through some rigors. Amen? And they had to go on this 20-mile hike after they've done all this thing and with like a 60-pound sack on your back. You know what I mean? And this guy had run. He had gone through all this stuff. And he finally sat down and he was crying. And his commanding officer came driving by in the truck and he said to him, sir, I want to quit. He said, soldier, are you sure you want to quit? He says, I just can't do it anymore. He says, I'm going to quit. He said, if you're going to quit, then take your sack, put it in the back of the truck, and we'll go. And the young man got up, threw his sack in the back of the truck, crawled up in the back. He's weeping, he's crying, he knows that he's out. He's not going to make the special forces. And the commanding officer drove about 100 yards and stopped and said, get out. He said, what do you mean? He says, this is the end right here. And what did he say? He says, take me back. He said, nope. You made your decision, young man. I don't want to be 100 yards from what God has for me. Amen. I don't want to quit before I receive what God has. If he had just endured just a little longer, hallelujah, he would have entered into an elite group of young men, amen, and he would have been part of the special forces. But what did he do? He gave up just before he was able to have the victory. So many times we give up just before the answer comes, church. We've got to be persistent if we're going to receive our full inheritance. Listen to what 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to the eternal life whereunto thou art also called. Hold on. Amen. That word fight there is used in the verb form. And it really means, it means to put forth every effort you have. It's the idea of being attacked by a wild animal, and it's either fight or die. Fight or die. Put forth every effort to make it through. Amen? You know, Jesus also talked about persistency in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. He says, and Jesus said unto them, which of you have a friend shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within in shall say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Persistence. He will rise and give him as many loaves as he needs. And then Jesus says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that hath this receive, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened unto him. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? It was persistency that got this man the loaves that he needed to feed his friends. How many realize that? This verse is talking about the continual asking, the continual knocking, the continual saying, God, I'm not giving up. I'm holding on for what you have for me. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? It pleases God for you and I to continue to knock, to continue to ask. Amen. Another good example of persistence is the mother from Canaan who had the daughter that was possessed of the devil. The Bible tells us that she came to Jesus and cried out, and Jesus did not even answer her a word. The disciples asked Jesus, they said, send her away. She's bothering us. Jesus told her that he had only been sent to the lost house of Israel. And then he told her it wasn't right to give the children's bread to the dogs. But how many realize this little mother wasn't going to be deterred? She said something great. She says, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. And Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt. In other words, he said, you've been persistent. You would not be denied. How you've held on, you're going to keep on persisting. And he says, I'm going to grant that which you've asked of me. She pressed on till she got what she needed. Hallelujah. She wouldn't give up. Can I tell you something? I'm not a quitter this morning. How many realize that? None of us ought to be quitters. Let me tell you, no telling how many times you get knocked down, you are to get up again. How many realize that? Every time you get knocked down, you are to get up and lift your hands to God and say, hallelujah, I'm going to hold on until the answer comes. Amen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It might look like what you're asking from God is further away now than it was when you first asked. But let me tell you, you keep asking. You keep holding on. Let me tell you why. Because God's Word says, as long as you're knocking, as long as you're seeking, as long as you're asking, let me tell you, He says, you will find it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you and I are ever going to possess the promises of God, we've got to be persistent in faith. We've got to hold on to the promises of God until the promises of God begin to hold on to you. Oh, I don't think you got that. I said you got to hold on to the promises of God. Let me tell you something. If you'll hold on to what God has spoken to you, if you'll hold on to that promise, if you'll hold on to that dream, if you'll hold on to that vision that God's given you, there'll come a time in your life where you won't have to hold on to it any longer. But hallelujah, the dream, the promise will hold on to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not that I have apprehended, but I want this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We've got to press on. We've got to press to the mark. Hallelujah. Paul said, forget what's behind you. How many realize that's history? You can't change it. Nothing in your life can you go back and change. Oh, trust me, if I could, I would. And so would you. But you know what? We can't. Paul understood that. He said, it's behind me. I can't go back. It is what it is. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be defined by your past today. Hallelujah. You're defined about your destiny. Amen. Where God is taking you today. Look forward. Put the past behind. Amen. Forgetting those things and press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that more than anybody. And he knew that there was more ahead of him than he was behind him. You know, as I've gotten a little older, you know, it's how many age will do something to your mind? Amen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about Alzheimer's. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about it messes your mind. One day I begin to realize I've got more time behind me than I do before me. But that woke me up real quick. You know, that could be depressing if you're not careful, amen. But you know what? I said, oh God, I can't do anything about that. But the years that I've got left, the years, oh Lord, that you'll let me breathe this on this earth. Hallelujah. I'm going to press forward because I know that if you've already given me this much, how much more is there for you to give me as I go forward? Amen. And I press on. Hallelujah. I press onto the mark. Hallelujah. Paul was persistent and he wanted the full inheritance. What about Jacob who wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he would not let him go? He held on. And the angel said, let me go. And he said, oh, not in your life. Not until you bless me. Not until I get my inheritance. Not until I get what that you have for me. And they wrestled all night and he held on. That's that bulldog determination. You know what I'm saying? And what happens? He reached down and touched Jacob on his hip. And the Bible says that his hip went out of socket. The angel Lord was going to see, are you going to let me go if I inflict something on you? You know what Jacob did? He held on. He says, I will not let you go. And you know what? The angel of the Lord blessed him. When Jacob got up there, he had a new outlook on life, had a new name. You know, his name meant supplanter, deceiver. But he says, no longer will your name be called Jacob, but your name will be called Israel. The Prince of God. Oh, can I tell you, we are prince and princesses of God here this morning. Not by anything that we have done, just because we've held on and said, God, I'm trusting you. When Jacob got up, he walked into, he walked with a limp the rest of his life because of that. But every time he limped, he remembered he held on. God's got something for you. Listen to me. You may have said, Pastor, I've been holding on. I'm getting weary. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You've got children that are away from God. Oh, listen. Don't give up. Why? Because your children's lives depend on it. Their eternal life depends on it. Hold on. Amen. Those who possess the promises of God have always been men and women who are persistent, who are willing to reach forward, and who are willing to press toward the mark. Those who would not give up, but with faith kept their eyes on the promise, they kept their eyes on Christ, the finisher, the author and the finisher of their faith, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm closing, I really am. The third positive for possessing the promises of God. How many realize that's a tongue twister? Amen? Is this. You and I must have divine power to possess the promises of God. Can I tell you something? It's not all up to us. We got to do our part. How many realize that? We got to prepare our hearts to receive the word of faith. Hallelujah. We've got to be persistent in our walk with God. Amen. Oh, but can I tell you something? That's where our ability ends. Amen. And guess what? Where our ability ends, His ability begins. We must have power. We must have divine power to possess the promises of God. Can I tell you something? It wouldn't be the power of Joshua that would lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. Neither would it be our power or our strength that we're going to promise the power of God. Yes, we must prepare. Yes, we must be persistent. But we must have divine power to bring it across. Amen. God makes the promise the reality through His divine power. Can you say amen? Zechariah 4:6 says this. He said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. We can't do anything within ourselves. How many realize that? But God makes the promises through His divine power, bringing about through us. Amen. Without God's intervening power, Joshua would have never been able to cross the Jordan River. How many know that? You know, when they prepared to go, you know what Joshua did? He walked up to the Jordan River. He took that old staff, amen? And what did he do? He said, okay, guys, take the ark out there. And with that staff in his hand, and as they walked out into the water, guess what happened? The waters began to part. Can I tell you something? I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things, but I've never seen anybody part a river before, amen? But God has that ability to make that which is impossible possible in our lives. And that's exactly what happened as they began to march across the land, just like he was with Moses, remember, at the Red Sea. He was with Joshua. And it wasn't the power of Joshua that brought the deliverance and brought them into the land of promise. But you know what it was? It was the power, the divine intervention of a holy God that brought them over. Hallelujah. It was that divine entry. It was divine power that brought down the walls of Jericho when they got there. It was the divine intervention of God that brought victories at Ai and Bethel. You see, we're not sufficient in ourselves. We don't have the strength, amen? We don't have the power to overcome, to possess the inheritance. Oh, listen, we can't even come to Jesus Christ by ourselves. How many realize that? No man cometh to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him. We are powerless. Human power and strength is never enough to overcome the battles that we face or to accomplish the work that Christ has called us to do. That's why Joshua needed divine intervention and divine power to go across and possess the land. God said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Because I love this part. He says, for I will be with you. I will not fail you. Let me tell you something. I've failed a lot of people, and a lot of people has failed me. But can I tell you something? God has never failed me. God has never failed me. Hallelujah. And God has promised to you and I that same power to come to overcome any obstacle in our life. Acts 1:8 tells us, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Amen. That's where the power and the strength really is. It's in Jesus. We need His strength. We need His power. With His power, there is nothing that we can't accomplish for the glory of God. Can you say amen? Are y'all awake this morning? God has called His people to go in the power of His might, to possess the land, to do great exploits for Jesus Christ, to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. But we can't do it in our own power and own strength. I wonder this morning, Miss Carol, would you come and just play something for us? I wonder this morning. I just wonder today. How many of us would be honest with ourselves? Honest with ourselves and honest before God. And say, Pastor Rick, I know that God has so much more to me for me than what I'm experiencing right now. I know that God has so much more. I know that God has an inheritance that He wants me to possess. I know that He wants me to be an overcomer and to have victory into every area of my life today. I know that, and I'm not experiencing everything that God wants for me in my life. Did you know this morning that you can be living in Canaan? You can be living in the land of promise and still not possess your inheritance. How many realize that today? Jesus made a promise to every one of us here this morning. He says, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Not to do what we want to do, but to fulfill His call and to fulfill His plan in our lives. We ought to be possessing new territories in our life every day. We ought to be achieving new victories in our life every day. But we can't do it within ourselves. We need His strength and His power to accomplish it today. Would you stand with me this morning and just bow your head? I'm going to close this thing here today. But as I close this service, I wonder today. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here. I believe that God's Spirit is moving. I just sense in my heart this morning that God is speaking to someone and speaking to individuals here. But you would say, Pastor Rick, I know that God has more for me. I know I haven't possessed all that God has. I might not have been persistent. I might not have made preparation. I may not have done those things. But maybe you're here this morning and you've just given up before the answers come. Or perhaps you're just tired of trying to do it on your own. I wonder this morning if you would just slip up your hand and say, Pastor Rick, I want all that God has for me. I know that God has more, and I realize there's so much more to possess. Slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me, would you? Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, you may be here this morning and you might not even know Jesus this morning. You might not have ever made a personal faith toward Him. Maybe you've been running from God this morning. You've been trying to do it yourself, but I can tell you, you'll never get it right until you come to Jesus. Amen. You're not here by accident today, but you have a divine appointment with God. God loves us so much. He loves you so much. Jesus is calling you and me this morning. You know, this morning that you need...